Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and the 12 steps. Produced, hosted, and posted by people in recovery who've been given strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
My name is Mitchell, and I'm here with Mr. Dave Laws of the Georgia Overdose and Prevention Organization. Hopefully I didn't butcher that too bad. And no, we are with the Most High Show. And we're going to talk a little bit today about recovery and what people like us are doing in an effort to help people in recovery or help people get into recovery or help the families of people who were either in recovery or suffered and never made it to recovery. So this is a little bit different approach than we normally take because we have somebody here who's actually doing something in the form of overdose prevention, which we've never had before. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Dave Laws, and hopefully he'll tell us a little bit about his journey.
Sure. Thank you very much, Dave Laws. First of all, I'll say that thank you for, I'm glad I saw you guys here. This is a great opportunity to talk about recovery, which is real important to me and to a lot of people who are in it and people who are trying to get into it. I'm a couple of things. One, I'm a person in long-term recovery. What that means to me, it's been 8 years since I've had to take a drink or a drug to change the way I feel. Now I feel, and I'm really grateful that I'm able to feel things and to go about my day without the fear of what's going to happen next. You know, life that I can enjoy and live life the way it was meant to be. Second of all, I'm on the board of Georgia Overdose Prevention, as you mentioned, which is a local Atlanta group, Georgia group of parents and advocates that have lost loved ones or know people that struggle with substance use disorder. And thirdly, and most importantly, is I'm a father who lost a daughter to an overdose, okay? And that happened about 5 years ago. And that's what got me into that world of harm reduction. I can say real quickly that what kept me, my sobriety helped me survive that horrible thing. So there's a lot of people out there that have suffered worse, I think, in a lot of ways. But you say, you said something earlier about, you know, what can be done in people overdosing. And the first thing that what we think about is to keep people alive, because you can't get into recovery if you're not alive. So that's really the focus we have with Georgia Overdose Prevention. And as far as my recovery work goes, this is my service work, being involved with this.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you're probably familiar with an area in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, called The Bluff.
Yeah.
So several of my friends and I, we made our way down there. And
how'd that go for you?
Yeah, it didn't work out very well long term. Short term, it provided me what I was looking for.
Right.
You know, I was in a position where I didn't know how to handle life. And so I grew up watching people abuse substances, drugs and alcohol to handle life. And so for a while that worked for me for about 10 years. So I was what you would consider a functional heroin addict. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to know that there was a place in Atlanta where people could go and drive through to get, you know, drugs. And so as younger men, we were attracted to that. And my own story with that is that, you know, I've lost some people to that epidemic who I might have even introduced to that place or to these things. And it's weighed heavy on my heart. And so one of the efforts I took was to help with some agricultural and gardening initiatives down in the Bluff.
I've seen that garden. It's over by English Avenue.
On English Avenue.
Right, the church there.
So I brought them their bees and helped them with some of their stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was one of my efforts to try and give back and hopefully help turn this around. And I've heard of what your team does and have had interactions with some people that you're probably closely connected to, because at one point I was operating an unofficial halfway house, was letting people. I let a guy or two live in the house I was living in and tried to help them get sober.
Right.
And they did get sober temporarily, as the story goes with many of us. They didn't stay sober. Maybe they're doing better now. But my point is, it became important for me to know that I was equipped where if I found them unresponsive or in a position where I thought they had overdosed from an opiate, that I would be responsible enough to have taken preventative measures to make sure that I could do something to save them or get them through until the EMTs got there, the paramedics. So I met with this lady. I don't remember her name. She was very nice. She pulled up to my house, opened up her trunk, and distributed to us, I think, 4 naloxone kits back when they were syringes. And it turns out now they have intranasal, which I guess is a little bit easier for people to work with. But long story short, the guy who I was working with and helped get sober, and then he relapsed, and he's had quite a few subsequent relapses. It turned out that at one point in time, he utilized the syringes from the kits during his relapses, which for me was kind of hard to swallow, that he was utilizing a life-saving implement to get high.
Right.
And so I'm sure you've heard of things like that, but to know that now those kits are intranasal, to me feels good to know that you're not leaving syringes around with that drug addicts.
Right. That was one of the things that everybody had a question or basically an objection to that same point. It's like, well, if we give these addicts, right, people are high risk people who are actively using, if we give them an intramuscular syringe, what's going to keep them from shooting heroin with it? And I've been told, and I'm not an expert on that part, but Lori Fugit, who's our Narcan guru, she's the nurse in the group, says that, and we were told that needle is bigger than it should be.
It is.
So it's going to be more painful. You really got to want to shoot to do it because it's not the needle.
And the guy that did.
Right. The guy that did, and did he die?
He's still alive to my knowledge, okay. But you know.
Okay, but to my point is, that's the kind of stuff that really shows you the extent of the disease.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we had to overcome some of those things by medically saying it doesn't fit the addict's, you know, need for it. But since that time, in the short 4 years, ADAP Pharma and Kaleo have developed other ways to deliver the naloxone. And one of them's an epi-style pen, which you're familiar with, I think. And the other is a nasal version, which is sort of like an Afrin spray. It's a one-hit thing. Yeah. So it takes a lot of it out of it in a high stress. You know, you're messed up, you're scared, your buddy's laying on the floor, you're calling 911, you got a needle that you got to put into a vial to inject. If you're an active user, you know how to use it. If you're not, if you're just the other guy at the party, you don't know how to use it. There's risk of puncturing and blah, blah, blah. So the where we are now is I don't want to say it's easier, but it's easier to save a life. Yeah.
Right.
It changes the dynamic in the room too. So what we say is to people like your friend who just, you know, in recovery, you got to want to recover, right? You're not going to stop somebody from using. But we tell people, it's important. One of the messages we try to deliver is, you know, Georgia law saves lives. You don't get arrested for helping a friend, and don't use alone. If you're an active user and you know you're going to use, and your friend, we're going out, and I'm the user and you're not, I'm going to say, here's a kit. Something happens to me, you know, be there. So that's a message. So we want to keep people alive to get into recovery. And as you know, we'll talk about recovery too. You know, there's many pathways. You know, I got sober in the rooms, 12-step, worked for me. After I got a box full of white chips, so, you know, it takes a little bit. But, you know, there's many pathways to recovery. And with medically assisted treatment now for opioid addicts and heroin addicts, you know, that's another way too. There's other ways to treat this as well.
Right. So I was kind of touched by the little bit I heard about your story, and I wanted to see if you could elaborate on your personal loss as it relates to this this topic.
Yeah, I'll do that. So my daughter Laura, I have a picture of her here if you want to zoom in on that. She was 17 years old when she died. It was 5 years ago, Thanksgiving. She was like many other young people, struggling with, you know, identity, sexuality, experimentating, school, a lot of pressure, social media and all that. On one hand, she's well-adjusted and well-liked by everybody. And on the other hand, she had some, you know, those issues that led to pain. One of them being a jaw injury. She broke her jaw. She was a goalie at North Atlanta High School, playing Decatur High. She was a goalie in the box. She went for a ball, fell on the ball. Somebody took a boot in the jaw and broke her jaw. So she was prescribed liquid Lortab. Now, you know, like I said, I'm a person in long-term recovery. My drugs of choice were, you know, cocaine and booze and all that. I was a bar owner for many years. So I wasn't experienced much with opioids or painkillers. But she got prescribed that at a very critical time, 15 years old. So I'm not saying that that was the reason that she died, but it contributed to her addiction and addictive behavior, because she's a daughter of an alcoholic and an addict on both sides, right? So she's got that genetic thing there. But the real hard part about this is that we would get together and try to help. And we would do what a lot of, you mentioned it earlier in your story about where to go and where to get help. Nobody really knew. This was 5 years ago, right? So that those waters were hard to navigate. We ended up doing a 30-day program, which we, you know, first year was like detox, and then fine, then detox. I'm fine, you know. And we were in a divorce situation, so that's always even more challenging when the family's not together to support it on the same, I mean, we were on the same page for it, but so there was some detox, and then there was a 30-day rehab thing going into her senior year and coming back out into high school. And everybody thinking that everything was going to be okay, we're past it, and we know now that it's a lifelong battle, right? So going back into high school, things were going well. There wasn't enough support in school, and plus it was real nervous time, senior year and all that. And she just hooked up with we would go to meetings. You know, the club that I went to was Triangle, so she would go to some meetings there and some other young people's meetings. So those are hopeful things. It makes a parent and somebody with somebody who's involved with somebody who's in the throes of addiction, gives them hope. But it's very short-lived. It's one day at a time kind of thing. So, the real emotion comes from the helplessness. So you can't help anybody with that. It's got to come from themselves. So we thought that things would be good for short term, always in the back of my mind. I remember talking to my sponsor once, and, you know, he asked about my daughter, and I said, well, I was talking about the situation he was in. I said, but she'll be fine. And he said, well, maybe she won't. That was an eye-opener, because I never wanted to think that way, right? And unfortunately, she got with a person innocently to help him move, but decided to do this instead of that, and did enough of this that she didn't wake up. So it was a mistake that proved to be fatal. And that's just the really thing that hurts me. And I very speak to this, but in this setting, you made me feel comfortable enough to say this. I was lucky enough to talk to her last, but she called me for a ride home, and I was like, no, you know, we've been through this kind of stuff before. You know, your mom's not gonna get you, you're not talking to you because you haven't been home in 3 days and I'm at work, and you know, if you're there tomorrow, we'll go do what we need to do. But I love you, you know, so I was very grateful I said that. But I'll have that, you know, that cross to bear the rest of my life, that I didn't go get her. But if I had gone and got her, you know, and we talk about the substance use disorder and the disease that it is, I mean, how long would it have lasted? You know, would she have gotten better? I don't know. Right now, her life is saving lives. So maybe that was just meant to be. You know, you don't have to be 70 to have a full life. Right. You know, she was a young person, and we all know we're here for a reason and a purpose. And, that's the emotional part about it, is knowing that the helplessness we found since then. And thank you for asking me to share that, because it helps. And we talked about it earlier before this segment, that talking about it really is the key in a lot of these situations. Talking about what you've been through, some experience, strength, and hope for other people. You know, you try to share that in order for other people to get better.
Right.
And there's places now, and there's halfway houses and sober living places and stuff. Again, we dial back down to our main mission with Georgia Overdose is, you know, you got to be alive to get there.
So thank you for sharing that. That was touching. I have a daughter myself.
Oh, how old is she?
She's five. And
how's that going?
You know, it's lovely right now.
I know, right?
She's gonna be They're teenager. Beautiful. She's going to be a teenager, and, yeah. you know, I'm pretty familiar with who her father was, right. so I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. I think that's, you know, that's experience that, you know, can only come from certain really tragic losses, and I think there are people who will really benefit from hearing that for yourself, you were able to get through that because you were sober.
Right.
And now you've turned something so tragic into something that I consider to be beautiful, and that you don't let that loss in there. You take that and turn this into a way to put momentum behind some life-saving efforts.
Right. And it's not, you know, when you say about what I'm doing, you know, it's my higher power that's giving me the strength to do it. I don't kid myself. That. I'm not doing anything but what I have to do for me to survive every day, you know, is to get up and do something about it, you know, but that somebody else has given me the strength, you know?
I can relate. I was told that if you want to move mountains and you want God's help, you might want to bring a shovel.
Right.
So if I suit up and show
He'll
up.
He'll hand you the shovel. Here's your help.
then some amazing things can happen.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there was a friend of mine who, they found him riding on MARTA, and so he didn't make it. But sometimes, you know, people utilize MARTA for their transportation needs
right.
for some of these activities. And so they found him riding on MARTA. And, you know, what if someone would have been there with a Narcan kit and would have seen him go unconscious? You know,
right.
you just never know. So we can't change the past, but hopefully what we can do is spread awareness and make materials available so that people's lives can be saved.
Right. That's a, you know, that's a good thing. There was a story Little Five Points, right? The druggist there, Ira, he was one of our advocates in the beginning that carried Narcan, you know, in naloxone, but the street name's Narcan, in the pharmacy, so people could go get it. And just recently, somebody was slumped over, you know, in the car, in the parking lot. So I was like, oh my God, that's my son. Mom was there. And it was like, rush in. Ira had the kit, saved his life, you know, and he was able to get some help. So what you say about riding public transportation and everybody, you know, locking themselves into Starbucks and bathrooms at bars and taverns and churches even. I know when I was doing my drugs, there wasn't a place in town that I didn't do a bump.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, church wasn't off limits for me.
Not at all. You know, public bathrooms and, you know.
No police in churches.
I know, right? Car washes was a good one to hide.
Car wash
just roll
was great.
Right through. You get enough time to relax a little bit and come back out.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what I'm talking about. And so when I go now, we're talking about my recovery now, I'll go into a place that I, you know, in sobriety and go, oh my God, I did it here too.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing was off limits.
No. But when you say about the MARTA thing, you know, the message that we have is don't run, call 911. And that's a real big message we want to get out to people who are watching this broadcast or in the sound of my voice. Know that you can call 911. In the old days, and I wasn't a heroin addict, but in the old days, I heard that, you know, if somebody went down, they'd dial 911 and then they'd leave because the cops would come. Then cell phones came along and they wouldn't start doing 911 because you could track the phone.
Right, and people would get in trouble for being around the substances, which I think has changed.
It has, and so the law protects that. I can talk about, you know, basically it is like if, you know, they're not going to get arrested or charged with anything that's on the table or around because you're not, you know, you're not dealing or anything. We're not going after the little people. And if you're on probation, it doesn't get violated. Here's a really big one for the young folks out here that are really tuned into podcasts and stuff, especially young people in recovery. It covers you under 21 for alcohol. So if you're in the back seat coming from a ball game at the University of Georgia or somewhere and your buddy's passed out in the back, take him to the hospital, okay? And turn him in and stay. You won't get arrested for underage drinking. That was huge. Athens, Clark County, threw that in at the last minute under the Gold Dome. And that's another thing we did, is we got a law passed.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, me being a person in long-term recovery, that just shows the power of what can be done. And there's other organizations, there's Shatterproof, which is national, that I encourage everybody to Google, shatterproof.org, what they're doing nationally with legislation and prescription drug monitoring programs and stuff. And here in Georgia, there's a Georgia Council on Substance Abuse, which every year there's a rally at the Capitol And it shows everybody, it shows the lawmakers that we're regular people, we're people too. We someday could write laws, be judges, be governors, things like that. So it's taking that mask off of the addiction.
And our families might be the ones who need it the most.
Right. I mean, you look like a pretty straight up guy.
I mean, I don't think it's always been that way, but
I know.
I try.
Right, but see, you are, and people out there that make decisions should not look at us and judge, because we are as good or even better than a lot of those folks.
So my goal to finish this podcast up is to figure out how we can get more of these kits in people's glove compartments,
yeah,
in their homes, in treatment centers. I mean, if the drug dealers out there want to pass these out, I'm okay with it. So what we need to do to get these kits out there is provide a little bit of information. Is there a best phone number? Is there a best website? You mentioned the Facebook page.
Yes.
Can you kind of go over those,
yes,
avenues so we can get some of these out to some people?
Yes, yes. And we have delivered. We have gone to some drug dealers and given them kits. I'll say that, because their customers need them.
I appreciate that.
Right? Seriously. And
yeah,
that's the real world, right? You
right.
got to be alive. So, you know, GeorgiaOverdosePrevention.org is a website. You can request a kit from there if you don't have insurance. Your insurance company can provide you one if you ask them. If you go to a pharmacy and have insurance, you get covered with a copay. Most pharmacies now will carry it behind the counter. If they don't have it, you can ask them to order it. Facebook page is 911 Good Samaritan Law is what it's called, because the letters are GOP. And that one was taken, GOP,
yeah.
So, you know, and that's okay. We're not politically aligned in any way, but it's GeorgiaOverdosePrevention.org. Facebook page is just type in 911 Good Samaritan or 911 or type in Georgia Overdose Prevention, and you'll be able to find a way. From the Facebook page, you can request a kit or information how to. And what we do is, if you're a person that needs it, and can't afford it, we'll come meet you or meet you somewhere and train you and give you the kit.
The kits are like,
so there's one available for everybody.
Yeah.
And basically on a sliding scale, which could be free if you need it. And if you can't,
yeah,
drive to get it, then essentially one could be delivered to you,
right,
for free, regardless of your current situation.
Right. They cost like $70 if you go to the, you know, that's the public offering price. I think pharmacies cost, they charge like $110. Okay, if you got insurance, again, with copay, check with the insurance company, it'd be like $20. We just like to get a kit in the hands of everybody that has somebody in their family or knows somebody that's using. And also, you know, just don't run, call 911 if you're in that situation.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Hey,
thank you
for the opportunity to,
yeah,
to share what we have.
Wonderful. All right,
man.
Mitchell from the Most High Show, thank you guys for tuning in. And don't be afraid to reach out. If you need my phone number, it's 720-322-5257. Again, tongue-tied. 720-322-5257. You can reach out to me, or you can go to the mosthighshow.com or our Facebook page, but we're available. So if you have questions, need a little help, you want a little bit of experience, strength, and hope, we might have what you need. All right. Thanks. Bye.